Blog Talk Radio.
Loving and the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Shank, and I host the show. My guest this evening is Heather Burns. She has created 162 lenses on Squidoo, many of which educate and enlighten about natural remedies and herbs. She is a certified herbalist. The call-in number is 347-205-9200. Joining me now is Heather Burns. Hello, Heather.
Hi, Kate.
How are you?
I am very good. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm very excited about having you on because of all of your vast knowledge about everything that I find to be so interesting. Just offhand, this have you found this to be a really tough allergy season?
Yes, actually, it is, and everybody's talking about it, too, and that there's so many more allergies than there used to be, and it seems like it gets worse every year, but, of course, it's the time right now.
Yeah,
you know,
it is.
There's a pollen and, you know, stuff like that, and, you know, I can't help it, but because of what I've read and everything, I know that a lot of it has to do with the GMO, you know, the genetically modified foods are causing way more pollen and way more allergies for everybody.
Yeah, that's fascinating. And also the Monsanto, as the corporation that's behind that, is the culprit, I would say.
Well, they are the worst. They're not the only one. DuPont is also implicated, and Archer Daniels, you know, they're the big soy people. Monsanto is the worst, though, and they're the ones who lobby the most and all of that. And unfortunately, I mean, it's pretty tragic to me what's happening with that whole thing because, you know, it's a whole thing. It's not just the genetically modified foods. It's like this whole movement to get rid of everything natural, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, if the FDA had their way, I wouldn't be allowed to practice because, you know, they want everything that if you say that it will help the body heal, then they want it under them. And, you know, they want it to all be drugs and not anything natural. And so it's very difficult right now. I worry about it all the time. I have websites, and if they do that, like they have in Europe, it's not just me. Everybody who sells vitamins or anybody who's an herbalist, you know, and tries to help with natural things, I mean, we'll all be put out of business.
Well,
so it's
I'm curious now. The FDA is not the wonderful organization. I mean, then to my mind, I just saw this film, and I'm well aware of how the FDA, the AMA, and the pharmaceutical companies sort of orchestrate together to shut everybody down who has natural remedies. And,
right.
And I don't know, are you aware of the new movie called Brzezinski the Movie? It's about, have you seen it?
No, I haven't, but I am aware of it. I've seen some things about it.
Well, you have to see that movie. And
yeah.
It really single-handedly shows a case study, because Brzezinski is by no means the only person this has ever happened to, where he has a cure for cancer, and he definitely has a cure for cancer. Now, there are many, many more who have. Unfortunately, they didn't have the resilience that this man has to fight it. I mean, I can't imagine why he didn't just move to Mexico to have I just don't understand it. But he didn't. He wouldn't let the bastards beat him down, as it were. And
yeah.
He's still practicing in Houston, Texas, and now he's trying to raise enough money to sue the FDA for stealing his patent. What it was
right.
is that they stole his patent, and then they systematically tried to prove by watering down his original thesis, watering it down so everything and any the people that they showed that were treated with his stuff was so watered down it didn't help anybody. But he, it's called anti-neoplastones, and
uh-huh.
he found out that people who have cancer don't have any anti-neoplastones in their body, but the people who don't have it actually have a goodly amount. So he found a way to harvest the anti-neoplastones from the healthy people and to inject a goodly amount into somebody with cancer. And it was just remarkable to see how it helped with rapidly growing brain cancers in children, how they were absolutely cured by this. And but if they did receive chemotherapy or radiation, their brains were fried. And so it was much better if they didn't receive those toxic medicines.
I know. And I'm totally aware of his history and his story. I just haven't seen the movie yet. But
yeah.
he's not the only one. I mean, I have I'm actually going to put it on my website to sell, and it's an affiliate product. But and most of the time, I think everything on QuickBank isn't good. But there is a book that talks about like 40 different protocols that have been proven, just like that one, and that one is in the book. But there's a whole bunch of other ones, other cures that have been proven, and unfortunately, the FDA stifles it because, you know, I mean, I hate to be so political, but I call them the Federal Death Administration because they don't
yeah.
really have our best interests at heart. They're there to help big pharma. It's an open door policy. People from pharma go to FDA, and FDA goes back to pharma. It's all set up to benefit them. And that's why they suppress all these cures, because you can't patent it. And if you can't patent it, there's no profit for pharma. And,
yeah.
you know, it's just getting worse. And that case, you know, I'm glad that he's fighting back. And he's not the only one, though. And then on top of that, you have, you know, unfortunately, you know, a lot of people that are misinformed and look at anything natural as not good. And it's just very hard to fight all of that stuff. And you know, as far as the cancer thing, you know, people like me that have studied nutrition and herbs for like 30 years, I mean, a lot
yeah.
of us in the community consider cancer a nutritional deficiency disease. And
yeah.
the reason that this protocol works, I mean, it works because they've gleaned it down, you know, to what the scientifically, the tiniest little thing that it is, it helps. But in truth, if those people had been able to get really good nutrition in the beginning, you know, they wouldn't be where they are.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
That's what we feel anyway.
Well, you know, they tried to, they meaning the FDA, and I would say the FDA, the AMA, and the pharmaceutical companies sort of got together. It's a really interesting film in that they, it doesn't surprise me because we were raised with a homeopathic physician here in my hometown, and he was just, I would say, harassed constantly by
uh-huh.
the powers that be, and we saw it as children, and we saw it as we were growing up, so that's not a surprise. But the thing is that they aren't killing people. They're people who have been helped. Actually, Brzezinski was interviewed by Mehmet Oz, who in the interview he's saying, well, actually what happened is his mother-in-law and his wife forced him to watch the movie, which
mm-hmm.
because the two of them are forces to be reckoned with, so he had to watch it. And
mm-hmm.
he became very, very interested in it, and then he had Brzezinski on his radio show. And
mm-hmm.
But he couldn't believe that David Kessler, who was or probably still is the head of the FDA, would be doing this. You know, he has these anti-sugar, anti-smoking campaigns, et cetera, and he just couldn't believe it. And Brzezinski didn't say anything about it. But at the end of the radio show, he did say, well, you know, if anybody out there doesn't want to go the chemotherapy radiation route, well, you ought to take a look at Dr. Brzezinski's work. Now,
yeah.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and I totally agree. And you know, what's interesting is they've done a lot of surveys of doctors, even oncologists, who say that there's no way they would do radiation and chemo if it were their own family or them or themselves.
Yeah, you know, I'll never forget. I was in nurse's training. I was doing an oncology rotation, and it was a really long day, and I was watching this administration after administration of chemotherapy. It was very dangerous. It was very dangerous to the people who were administering it. So there was this lull in administrating and a lull between patients, and I said, well, do you believe in chemotherapy? And she looked me straight in the face, and she said, no.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's terrible to have to do something like that and not believe in it. So,
yeah.
And I have to say that all of my life as working in these and in the allopathic field as I have, I feel about the same way. I feel about the same way. I don't believe in almost anything that's being done that I see. So, you know, it's sad. It's sad to be in these positions. But
you do, because you're given, you know, you have to administer those medications. Even a lot of the medications aren't really good either.
No, they're
not. Yeah, it's really sad.
It's an amazing situation that we're in at this time. And, of course, we are at a time when there is more of an enlightened, where more and more people are waking up. But I would say, in your situation, And in the general situation with medicine, trying to suppress these wonderful treatments, then I can't understand why there isn't more outrage. Why aren't people rising up in huge numbers and demonstrating against these organizations that are suppressing healing modalities that actually not only help but save people? And it just doesn't. I guess people are just too busy, and they're just diverted. They're actually distracted by all of the things that are happening on the internet and all the blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? So
I do, and I feel the same way. I'm like, how could they not be just totally upset? And, I feel really frustrated with it because I already see in Europe, you know, they passed Codex Alimentarius, and what that is, you know, they can't go and get vitamins anymore like we can. And they're trying to pass it here. And so many people aren't even aware that they're very much trying to pass that here. And here's the result. Like in Germany, where you used to be able to go buy vitamin C, you can't do it anymore without a doctor's prescription. And then on top of that, the doctors are told how much they can prescribe. So, like for me, I take at least 2,000 milligrams a day. And over there, you maybe can get a prescription for 600 milligrams, and that's not enough. And that's how it
I'm
is.
I'm surprised that it's like that in Europe. Now, how did that happen? I thought they were farther ahead than we are in most things.
They were, but somehow it got passed, just about like what you and I are talking about, that nobody really, you know, there was no uprising, so it just got passed. And now it's interesting. I met a lady in the in Walmart the other day, and her mother is in England, and she has terminal cancer. And she was asking me what to do, you know, herbally, what she could do. And I said, well, you know, the best thing right now is give her lots of vitamin C and Shizandra. I mean, if you can do nothing else, and vitamin D, add it to her medications or whatever they're doing. And she said to me, well, you know, she can't buy that anymore in England.
Oh,
they can't buy
gosh.
That January 1st. She said, but you know what? There is a black market for it already.
Oh, good. Yes. That's what we all need is a black market.
And so, oh, great. Now it'll be just like drugs, you know. Everybody will have to, you'll be a criminal and have to buy vitamins on the black market. And now you'll be, you know, just as bad as like a drug dealer or something because it'll be illegal. And send some black people to
Corrine is in the chat room. Corrine is in the chat room, and she says hello.
Oh, hi.
I just took a quick look there, and there she is. Hi, Corrine. I think that we could organize. I think they've been trying to suppress vitamins in this country for many years, and I think there has been an uprising against it. So I'm just absolutely flabbergasted that that's going on in Europe. So thank you for that. Information.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, that bill is already, 50,000 people have written in already to protest it. But I believe it's SB 3002, where they're trying to make all of our supplements and vitamins and everything would be, you couldn't go down and buy them. I mean, they won't be illegal, but they will have to be prescribed. And isn't that horrible? And so I'm telling everybody, please write to your congressman and tell them no on that. We still need choices.
Now, what is that bill called? You called it something, and I'm not familiar with it.
It's the Natural Supplement Prohibition Act, and it's it's S3002.
S3002.
Mile 3002, and I've sent out tons and tons of emails to all my friends. I've got everybody writing about that. But that's the gist of that bill, is that supplements and vitamins would not be legal to buy over the counter anymore. They would all be controlled, just like medicine is, or pharma drugs. So,
is it true that Monsanto would have it that people can't grow gardens anymore?
Well, Monsanto is, they've actually been able to pass it in a few places, to make it, what they're trying to do is have city councils not be able to keep them from making it so that you could only grow their seeds. And the problem is that the GMO seeds have built into them that they are, in genetics, some things are dominant and some things are recessive. All the GMO seeds they're all dominant. So if you have a GMO crop of corn and next to it you have organic corn, the GMO, when it crosses with the organic, it is now GMO. It is no longer organic, and it can't ever be, because they built it in that those are dominant genes.
So
that problem is that by doing that, Monsanto is contaminating all our crops. And so 90% of corn is GMO now. And it's just not safe. It's got, unfortunately, it's not just trying to be better. They've built in this, it's Roundup Ready. So its insecticide is in the crop. So when you eat it, you're eating insecticide. So and I will not eat anything corn now, because you can't tell. And it's dominant. So wherever it is, it contaminates all the crops. So, that's why a lot of organic farmers are up in arms, because their crops don't have a chance next to GMO. And Monsanto would like it that all of our crops are GMO and that you could only buy their seeds. Because the other they built into those, besides the Roundup Ready insecticide, is they're produced to only last one generation. So they have built-in infertility. So then the farmer can't grow them again without going and buying more seeds from Monsanto. So, they're saying it's Monsanto will own all the seeds. We own no food. Let's see. You grow no food that we don't own. And it's just horrible. I mean, where they've done it in India, it's really sad. A lot of the Indian farmers that were, they were told to buy these GMO seeds. They were told that the GMO seeds would be better crops. They would be disease resistant. They would get better yield. And they don't get better yield. They get worse yield. Because then they can't grow them next year without buying them from Monsanto again, they are going bankrupt. And so there's this huge amount of Indian farmers that are committing suicide because they can't support their families anymore, because they can't buy any more seeds. That's in India. That will be here too, because that's where they And Monsanto did that as an experiment there. So,
oh, my gosh. What are we going to do? This is something. It's more pervasive than I thought.
It's horrible, Kate. And, you know, another thing is that for a while it was only Canada and the United States that allowed these GMO seeds. I mean, Mexico didn't allow them. A lot of places didn't allow them. And Europe does not allow them. But now Monsanto has been able to do whatever they do in these countries. And now they're grown. They did the India thing, and that's the result of that. You've got Indian farmers killing themselves because they can't support their families because their seeds don't work. And then now they're in Argentina and Brazil, and several, and Mexico allowed them to do it with corn and, you know, some of the other crops. And the other thing is then those crops are fed to livestock, and then so if you eat that meat, they already know that by the third generation, 90% are infertile. So let's say that, you know, they grow the corn, that's one. Then they feed the cow, that's two. And then I eat it, that's three. And my child is probably infertile. 90% of the time in rats, that does occur. So if they let the genie out of the bottle without doing the proper research. But in my mind, it's because Monsanto, you know, paid off all of our Congress to get this done.
Sounds like they're trying to kill off the population.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem that way, doesn't it? I mean,
that sounds denser,
but, you know, but it is awful. It's just terrible. And so, you know, I tell everybody, you know, save your seeds, you know, so you can grow your own and, you know, get them in a greenhouse because if it gets contaminated, you don't have those seeds anymore.
The greenhouse would be a good remedy for not having this cross-pollination occur.
Exactly. And so I think that that's what people should do.
Okay. Yeah. That's great. What other remedies can you think of? What other things can we do to besides we have to write our congresspeople. And I think demonstrating rising up against this. But besides that, what other remedies do you foresee for this? What else can we do to stop these corporations from, just basically running over people and killing them?
It's a huge topic, and I don't know how far to take it, really, but I would say this. Unfortunately, the FDA is really not helping us right now. They're protecting pharma. And Big Ag is the same way. You know, they're not protecting us. They're helping Monsanto. I have my own theories about why it's all happening and everything. But what can we do? I think, for me, I try to tell people. I just try to get the word out, you know, on blogs and stuff. Hey, you know, if you care about your health, it starts from the very basics. And if if the food is contaminated, then we don't have much longer. So I think everybody has to do it for themselves, you know. It's like not necessarily relying on the government or thinking that any corporation really has your best interest at heart. I mean, you have to educate yourself and take care of yourself. And
right.
Even with everything.
What I see happening too, that most people, this is one of the reasons why people, more and more people, have no faith in the government.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
It's becoming more and more apparent that the government is, no matter who's in office or Obama really hasn't done what he said he was going to do, and he has his, hands in the back. The corporations have dictated everything that he's done in office. So, There's an anti-government thing that's happening amongst the whole population of people here in America, which is a good thing. You just can't trust anything that they say or what they're doing, and we have to start thinking for ourselves and thinking of ways to protect our food, to protect our health, and to protect our whole lives and the lives of our families and everybody that we love, so that
totally
these things, yeah, so that we actually. Jules Aval is in the chat room. Patricia's in the chat room. And Corrine are talking about the movie called, It's called Let me just see here.
The Brzezinski?
I will find it. Movie agency or something. I'll get to it here.
There's a new movie about that whole food thing that we were talking about, too, called Farmageddon that's coming out.
Oh, Farmageddon. Wow.
Yeah.
So this one's, this one's called Movie Food Agency.
Okay.
Inc. I should say Inc.
Uh-huh.
Movie Food Inc. Pharma, what's that called? Pharma what?
Farmageddon.
Farmageddon. Oh, my gosh. That's really interesting.
And it's about all of this GMO stuff and what's happening to the food and, you know, everything that's behind it, you know, Big Ag and what they want and what they've been doing and all of that stuff.
Well, this movie about Brzezinski is another one that is exposing the pharmaceutical companies and, you know, like the AMA and the FDA and that kind of thing. And I think it's going to get it's going to get big. It's just now, it was free on the internet until the 20th of June. And then after that, people have to buy it. But they're trying to get it on Netflix. And more and more people are going to see it because it's word of mouth and people will recommend it. That's the kind of thing that does change the world.
I totally agree. And I'm sure it's really good because I've read the story and it's amazing. So.
Well, that's a great title, too. So what else do you think we can do?
Well, I think that people should, if you want to do things for yourself as far as food goes and everything, and even if they do make all the vitamins illegal and everything, you know, you could grow herbs. I mean, I'm an herbalist, so I think that way. But herbs have a lot of vitamins, and you can just add them into cooking and stuff. And, you know, I've studied Ayurvedic herbs, the ones from India, as part of my training and everything. And, you know, we think, like, we love Indian food because it tastes good and everything, but all of those herbs were originally put in there to help different things to keep you healthy, you know?
Right.
And
turmeric is a big one. Turmeric.
Oh, that's a really, really good one. And I use that every day.
Yes.
You know, I sprinkle it over any vegetables I have. And so any, you know, even when they do that, probably you will still be able to get organic herbs. And so sprinkle them in your food, you know. It'll make the food taste great, and you'll be able to get vitamins from that. And then just eat the most dense nutritional foods you can, which are the fruits and vegetables. And if, you know, the powders that you can buy that are green food and everything that's like the algaes and the spirulinas and all those kind of green things that add more chlorophyll to your cells are really good for you, and they're cancer preventative too. And a lot of the herbs, like the turmeric that you mentioned, is totally anti-cancer. So a lot of those things are things you could do, even if they take away our vitamins and all that, you could still use really good herbs and just be really careful about what you eat.
Another one, a gentleman by the name of Jim Humble, have you heard of him? He was experimenting with a hydrogen ion originally in Africa. And what he did was use it. He'd take the hydrogen ion and activate it with citric acid from a lemon or a lime. And, I mean, that was, his whole experiment sort of progressed from one to another. But that was the final thing that he came up with. And it really helped malaria. People would be very ill. They'd take this, and within a half or 20, 30 minutes, they'd just feel fine again. So he thought, you know, he could come to this country and everybody would be embracing his discovery, and of course, as we know, that's not what happens here. But he sells it on the internet as a water purification. However, I used it with my dog Ulysses, who I would feed him maybe 5 drops of the hydrogen ion, and then for 1 drop of the hydrogen ion, you get 5 drops of the citric acid. So I gave him, say, 4 to 5 drops and then 20, 25 drops of the citric acid, and then you let that activate and then add water. Well, interestingly enough, and then I had to give it to Ulysses every 2 to 3 hours because he was dying of cancer.
Is that MS? Is that what you're talking about?
MMS. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I know exactly what that is. That's awesome.
I take that stuff myself.
Oh, yeah.
It really does help me. But for him, I still give it to him. But anyway, what happened is it got his tumor to the point where we could surgically remove it. It absolutely encapsulated the cancer into one place, and it became hard and completely, totally able to remove it. The veterinarian removed it. Now, earlier it was spongy. He was bleeding out. He almost bled to death. And then the vet who is very much thinks like we do had recommended an herb that is called Yunyan Bayan, a Chinese herb that stops bleeding. It just stops bleeding immediately. I'm sure you know all about this.
Yeah.
Well, he was bleeding to death, and I gave him the Yunyan Bayan. I don't think I'm saying it correctly, but anyway, within, you know, hours or less, he stopped bleeding completely. And that was then he was able to get himself together that way. That was truly remarkable. Yeah. So then I gave him the turmeric, and he wouldn't eat, and finally he ate. And it was just amazing to watch him, you know, become. And then we took him to a miracle place called the Grotto of Lourdes here in America at the Emmitsburg, Maryland site, where they have statues of Mother Mary and statues of St. Francis and stuff. We took him there. I have a lens about that called
something.
It's a neat lens. So we took him there, and then a few days before his surgery, it was interesting. There's a beautiful mosaic of Mary, Guadalupe. And, of course, he's not allowed to enter the grotto grounds because he's a dog, but there's this beautiful mosaic outside of the grotto grounds. And he laid down and literally lifted his leg where his tumor was and lifted his leg and left it there for a full half hour and just let that statue beam her energy into him. And within days, it was apparent that we could remove that tumor. And within days after that, he became a very thriving, bouncing, beautiful creature of mythic proportions, you know. It's so cool.
That gives me goosebumps just hearing that story. It gives me goosebumps.
I know. I love it.
Amazing. I can totally relate to that because I've been to Lourdes, the one in France. And, you know, when we went there, my little sister, when we got out of the car, I closed the door on her hand by mistake. I mean, I wasn't very old.
Oh, my gosh.
Her hand is bleeding, you know. We're standing there, and her hand is bleeding out. And my mother was a nurse, but she grabbed her, and she said, "We're here. We're going over to Lourdes. We're there. We're just taking her over." And we went over, and Mom dipped her hand
into the water.
Yes. And she was healed in 3 days.
Gosh.
Not tell that door had hit it. And I swear to God, I mean, it looked like it was totally mangled and looked like it was broken.
Oh, my gosh.
My mom wrapped it up. You know, she dipped it in the stream, and then she wrapped it up with gauze and stuff. And 3 days later, it was totally perfect.
Isn't that a beautiful story? Wow.
I know. So,
at this place in Emmitsburg, they have the water, too. They have this beautiful water that springs from the earth, you know, and it's people come from all over the country to gather it for healing purposes. And so we get it, too. We take it. Emmitsburg is about an hour and a half away, so it's not that far, but we go monthly pilgrimages there. I mean, and we met the director there. His name is Bill Tronalone, and he was on the show. And I tried to get him to tell me the miracles that he has seen, and he was a little hesitant, but after a while, he just started to tell us some great stories. it's a great show.
In Lourdes, France, all these crutches. There's thousands and thousands of crutches where people have thrown down their crutches when they
gosh, that is perfect.
Yeah,
they don't have that there. That is interesting. Very interesting.
It's very, you can feel it even as a child. I felt that energy there was so healing and everything. It was really amazing.
Well, apparently, one of the priests or one of the higher ups in the church did bring a beautiful rock from Lourdes, France, and they have it in the wall there at Emmitsburg. Yeah, so it's really cool to go to that rock and touch it. And you can feel amazing energy coming from that.
I bet you can. There's stuff that we just, you know, that was so cool. But there's so much stuff we don't know. I mean, that reminds me of, there's a place in Hawaii on Oahu, and they don't, you know, you don't know about it. They don't tell the tourists or anything. But anyway, I know a man from there, and he told me about this place called the Healing Stone. And he took me and like four or five of us in a group and his wife. We were all there vacationing together. So he said, yeah, I'll take you over to see it. Well, at the time, my back was killing me from, I have arthritis in my back. So, you know, he said, well, don't touch it because, you know, a lot of people have done that. And now they don't want it because they don't want to ruin the energy of it or anything. And he did his whole little story and everybody was ready to leave. But somehow I knew if I touched that stone, I would be better. And I did. I touched it just as we were leaving, and I did a little prayer. And the next morning, and I had not been pain-free for at least 4 years, and the next morning I woke up and I had no pain.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, and I felt something when I touched that stone. I just knew that I would be okay, and that was it. So
yeah.
I don't know how to explain that, but that is exactly what happened.
Well, and then the fact that he told people not to touch it is interesting because I think maybe people might not be able to handle the energy, possibly.
Either that, or he said they want to keep it special. They don't want just any old tourist who doesn't understand its spiritual power running over and touching the stone.
Yes.
So I could understand that, and I respect it too, but I knew that if I touched it, I would be okay.
Have you had pain since?
You know, it was. I do have pain now, but that is because I'm injured. But for many years, I was fine. And really, I was so in pain before that. It was a miracle. It totally was a miracle.
It is a miracle. Oh, my gosh. I love that story. It's called the Healing Stone?
Yes, it is.
Where is it located?
It's in Oahu, you know, the island of Oahu, and it's actually in Honolulu in a residential area, and it is enclosed. I mean, you can go up to it. They don't really want you to touch it, like I said, but they don't. It's not like it's advertised. They're trying to keep it. It's more like the people there that, you know, because this guy is pure Hawaiian that showed us the stone, and it's more of a local thing, but you know, it's part of their spirituality that it is a healing stone that's been there for eons. And where it is, there's it's kind of a rural area, but you know, it's not way far away from the city. But there's a whole field there, and supposedly all the stones there are sacred, and the Royal Hawaiians used to come there and meditate and to be healed. It's that kind of a place.
Oh, that's so interesting. And then now it's a residential area with the stone there. Oh, that's so amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, I think that another thing that you and I have in common is, or I think we have a lot in common, but is our interest in Paramahansa Yogananda and our Kriya Yoga.
Yes,
thing.
Totally.
For those of you who may not know, and we're not allowed to say too much about it, but
no.
Kriya Yoga is this beautiful technique, or I would say meditation, that is taught to those who actually do the meditation that is taught to them through the Self-Realization Fellowship, through Paramahansa Yogananda. And you can see one of the best spiritual books ever written, in my opinion, in the world, is The Autobiography of a Yogi.
I totally agree. I that book is so amazing that after I read it, I went and bought it in leather because I wanted to be able to always have it.
I know.
I mean, even if you didn't want to do Kriya Yoga or join the church or anything, that book is an incredible book, I think. And it is on the top 10 bestsellers of all time, you know.
It does teach about Kriya Yoga in there. So if anybody was curious about Kriya Yoga, that it's not something that if you didn't, you could read the book and not even notice that there's a lot about Kriya Yoga in it because
right.
you just worked, you know, you could just gloss over it. But knowing, I've read that book a lot of times, and I've gotten a lot of insight into Kriya Yoga just by reading that book, which is available to everybody, you know.
But if you didn't know Kriya Yoga, you might miss it when you're reading it, because I've read it 3 times. But after I had done Kriya Yoga, then I noticed that stuff a lot more.
Exactly.
And yeah,
my mother was really into Paramahansa Yogananda, and she got the book in the early, you know, to mid-50s and was telling all her friends about it. And I was born in 1951. So what she would do is wake me up from my naps and talk to me about the third eye, which was really something that Yogananda was really into, the third eye, you know. But something about talking about the third eye and listening to these stories that she was telling me about, out of the book, I think. But there's something I started to think to myself about having a third eye myself. I was very literal about having seen an eye up there in my, you know, right in the middle of the brow. And I just kind of agonized about this, about maybe wanting a third eye, or maybe not really wanting one because it would be embarrassing to be the only person to have one. And another thing that really blew my mind as a child was the stigmata.
Yes.
That is an interesting phenomenon.
It's a very interesting phenomenon. I read a whole bunch about that for a while, and I still don't know what to think about it.
Well, actually, a gentleman here in my hometown used to work on the crisis intervention. He told me that on the eve of Easter that a young girl was brought into the emergency room and was suffering from, well, she had a lot of psychological problems surrounding the fact that she actually had the stigmata. He actually saw it with his own eyes, this young girl of Spanish, you know, she was Spanish, and she had the stigmata on her palms and on her feet, and he was called in to try to counsel them, and he was a good person to have come in because he knew immediately what it was, and he was able to counsel them about accepting this as a gift.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
He just recently told me that story. I thought that was so cool.
That is. You know, speaking about what we have in common, I always want to tell you that, you know, when I first met you on Squidoo, it said something about you were from Lancaster. And there's a little town called Lancaster about 20 miles from me. So I wrote to you right away and said, oh, good, you live in Lancaster. Good, let's get together for coffee. You didn't respond to that, and after about a month, I was reading something, and I found out that you lived in Pennsylvania, and I thought, oh, God, no wonder she didn't respond. But I was so happy close to me.
I may not have seen it or something weird, but so it's in North Carolina that you have a Lancaster. Is it South Carolina that you live? Or
I live in California. I live in Southern California.
Oh, were you originally from the South?
I am. My whole family's from the South, although I traveled my whole life because my dad was in the Army. But my family's from Texas, you know, five generations of Texas. But I'm in California and just north of L.A., so when I saw Lancaster, I was like, oh, cool, I'm going to go have coffee with her. It's kind of funny when I found out, oh, well, that's going to be a long ride to get coffee.
Now, where in California do you live?
It's called Canyon Country, and it's in the Santa Clarita Valley, which is just north of L.A. We're behind the San Gabriel Mountains, and we're actually a valley in those mountains. So that's where I live.
Well,
nobody's heard of it.
I think you probably live in the best place in the country to protect your herbs and to protect your business.
Yes,
because
that's true.
California will not allow that stupid stuff to happen.
I hope not. I mean, because, you know, where I live, everybody eats organic and, you know, all that stuff. And so you would think this would be the last place that would happen. But, of course, if it's federal, you know, there's not much a state can do unless they want to fight back.
Yeah. Well, I just don't think that they can. And I think that we're on the sort of a brink of time where we see, as I said earlier in the show, there is this period where we are, there is an enlightenment cycle that's occurring. And what we're seeing is the dark side more prominently. I mean, these major corporations, they can't continue. It is so evil.
I do not use
that word freely. I do not.
I don't either, but weird right now.
No. Yeah, and I think that it's something that we're seeing, like, the last throes of crazy society or something. And I think that in the end, I think we'll this can't happen. It just can't happen.
Hopefully, even if they did pass that there would be enough of an outcry, because where I live, everybody's into herbs and, you know, natural food and organic food and all of that. And there's lots of places to buy all that stuff and everything. I mean, that's just the culture where I live. And I think they'd be really angry if that happened.
Well, you know, I live in a part of the country where, well, and I work with a lot of women who are maybe in their 30s and or younger, and they're all into this sort of renaissance of growing their own food and their own herbs. And there's a lot of, you know, a lot of people who are into that. In fact, almost everybody I work with has their own gardens. And I just think that it's something that people are aware. I don't think they really believe that something, that it is as sinister.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really undercover, too, because they're trying to sneak up on us with all of this stuff.
Exactly.
But there's more and more movies that are made about it. And
that's heartening. I mean, I'm glad they're Farmageddon and, you know, some of the other movies they've done about the food thing and the corporatism that we've got going that really isn't in the best interest of individuals, you know. So I just keep trying to tell people, you know, and hopefully enough people will notice and, you know, write to the right people and just not allow it to happen. Because I think we could have choices. I mean, if you just want to eat all that stuff, fine. But if you want to be healthy and if you want to have your own, you know, grow food that's totally organic, you should be able to.
Yes.
You know,
another eye-opening movie I thought that is out there quite prominently is Super Size Me.
I was going to say that. Couldn't think of the name of it. Yes, that's a really good movie.
We actually recently got Netflix, and that was one of the first movies I saw. And I had not really – that is a really well-done movie. You know, he had documented everything with lab work, very healthy young man, very had a lot of vitality and a lot of energy. And at the end of that 30-day period, you know, and a lot of people eat nothing but McDonald's, and at the end of that 30-day period, he was almost had sick. Liver failure.
Sick, yeah, totally sick. Yeah, I know, that movie is awesome. I totally agree, and I've told a lot of people to watch it.
Yeah, so I would say that that's Monsanto at its best there at these fast food places.
Right. Well, I see a lot of stuff about Monsanto and all that stuff on Facebook. I think most people probably know how I feel. But I think
I'm happy about Facebook. I think, you know, you can get a lot of great messages out there.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful forum, I think, almost better than anything, except I like Twitter, too, and I think those two are my favorites.
Yeah. I just never got into Twitter as much, and, you know, I was actually kind of dragged to Facebook when it seemed like Scooty wanted us to all go to Facebook, so I went to Facebook. But, I put a lot of that kind of stuff on there and just hoping to educate some people, you know, and the more people know, and maybe somebody will fight back. But for me and what I'm going to do, I'm growing my own organic, and I grow lots of herbs and try to take care of myself. That's all you can
do,
really.
I love your new governor, Jerry Brown. I just love him.
I don't actually know that much of what he's doing right now. There's just so much stuff that's going on with our legislature. And poor California, you know, we're having a hard time. I mean, we're practically broke. So whoever is here is going to have a rough time. There's just so much going on.
I hope that single payer is passed in California. Because that would save a lot of money. It's an amazing, it's not an entitlement because
right.
Everybody gets the same thing. When you start passing entitlements, which is what President Obama's health care plan is, an entitlement, and that's why it's not saving any money. It's just going to bankrupt even more everything. But Jerry Brown will probably, he can't just pass it, though. It's the kind of thing where there has to be everybody in the state has to have a voice in passing single payer.
Right.
But the legislature in Vermont just passed single payer. So that will be the first state in the union to go that route.
Oh.
Yeah.
That would have been way better than what we got. And actually, I've read that bill, and I just really, there's a lot of stuff in there that's not good, and I don't think people know. So single payer would have been way better.
Yeah, I don't. Obama had promised that he would pass single payer. Well, but in reality, though, it can't be done on a federal level. First of all, because the federal government is so corrupt. So the best way for it to go, it couldn't go that way anyway. It has to go state by state.
I totally agree.
That's the way it has to go. And I think it's fine that. To Obama's credit, he actually said that, I hope he means it, that he will allow a state-by-state kind of agenda to take place where people decide their own health care.
I'm sure hopeful.
Yes, I do too, because, my gosh, I am pushing. See, Pennsylvania is another state that could have gone single-payer, but then we got our Governor Corbett, who is just like Governor Walker in Wisconsin in all reality. So, you know, I don't really see that we could pass single payer here in Pennsylvania with that kind of influence there in Harrisburg, which Harrisburg is the state capital. However, we have a huge single payer grassroots movement here in Pennsylvania, and I have been pushing, and I'm, you know, my husband and I have been a part of that, and I have been pushing for alternative and integrative medical modalities to be introduced into the bill. Because it's very cost-effective, it's cost-saving, and I personally, you know, it doesn't really matter whether I have single payer or whether I have insurance. I do not go to a doctor and get a bunch of drugs. I just won't. But if we have alternative medicine as part of a single payer plan, or actually any plan at all, I would, but I'm pushing for single payer all the way, you know. But I would push for that, and I would like to go to Vermont and have some sort of influence there for them to have alternative medicine as part of their single payer bills and what it is that they're introducing there.
Yeah, I always hope that they'll have alternative because there's so many modalities that work better than, you know, slice and burn and drug them up, you know.
Absolutely. And, you know, and maybe that would be one of the things that will turn everything around is to have those options available. And in fact, over 75% of Americans have gone the alternative routes, and they believe in those routes more than being sliced and burned and drugged by the, you know, allopathic doctors. And
exactly.
That's why, I mean, my own doctor, my family doctor, recommended the vitamin D for us and fish oil and stuff like that. And I mean.
That's good news.
It is good news. I think that more and more of the doctors realize that they can't not recommend these alternative healing modalities because everybody is more interested in that anyway.
And more knowledgeable than they used to be.
Yeah.
I mean, Don't you think the internet has really helped people to become more aware of some of these things?
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
So, my doctor that I was going to, every time she would tell me to take pharma or something, I'd say, well, I'll take this, and then pretty soon she said, well, how do you know so much about herbs? And I told her I was certified and everything, and then she said, well, can you recommend me a book? Because you could teach me. You could really help me with some of my patients who ask me for stuff and they don't want to take drugs and I don't know what to tell them.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So I got her a book that I thought, had a lot of stuff, and she read it and stuff. And occasionally she still would call me and say, okay, what do you think about this? So some of them, they will be open and then they can really help their patients more.
Yes. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, so that was really cool. I'm so glad, but I find that's a little bit more with the younger ones. That at least that's been my experience, who would be more
mm-hmm.
open to that kind of thing. But I never take anything with pharma. I just won't do it. I'll just find the herbal equivalent.
so
they have to work with me that way.
What herb do you recommend for extreme allergies in this season?
Schizandra is really good for allergies. And,
mm-hmm.
I totally recommend Schizandra for almost anything. It's an adaptogen, so it really helps you. But most allergies will affect the respiratory system at some level, even if you're not aware of it. You'll have inflammation, and Schizandra is the best herb there is to work on the respiratory system.
So that's great. Great to know.
Anybody who has allergies, I tell them to take Schizandra because it will help their respiratory, and that is going to be affected. Even food allergies affect the respiratory system. So Schizandra is the number one thing that I say. But
How do you spell it? How do you spell that?
It's S like smile, Schizandra. And, I write a lot about that on my lens on Squidoo, the top 10 immune system boosters. I write a whole section about Schizandra. That is my favorite.
That won the lens of the day, right?
No, it just ran. It won a purple star, but no lens of the day. But that's my favorite herb, really. If I couldn't take any other herb, that's what I would take.
I'm going to go get that tomorrow because I've been suffering from extreme allergies where I can't even breathe. I will. And the fact that you mentioned Monsanto as being the culprit there is fascinating to me.
Yeah. Oh, there's no doubt about it. The research is already in. The GMOs, the rise correlates exactly with GMOs, more food allergies and more respiratory allergies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, do the Schizandra. And, the buzz right now, too, is this is Aztaxanthin. I can't even pronounce it. But it's got way more antioxidants even than vitamin D or any other thing. And it is available as just a single thing. And I have it on my website. I have Vitamania. Vita-mania.com is my herbal website. And you can type in any herb, and I have it, or any issue with your body or complaint or whatever. So if you put in allergies, there'll be all kinds of suggestions for you. So that I do have it.
It's www.vita-mania.com?
Correct.
Okay. That's great.
Yeah. And it's got all the herbs and vitamins and stuff, and like I said, by name or by complaint. So, that's my little baby.
Oh, that's beautiful. Now, do you have a store where you live?
No, it's just online. I used to do all that stuff, but now, no, it's totally online. But I do
online is better.
On that Vitamania, I have that's a huge store. It's got so many. It's got more than 1,000 items.
Okay, I see it. Yeah, it looks great. That's a beautiful website. Congratulations.
I did that website myself, so thank you.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I will be visiting there, and I'll talk to my husband about that.
Okay.
So we've come to the end of our beautiful hour together. Thank you so much for coming on. This has been great.
Oh, you're very welcome. I totally enjoyed it.
Me too. Yeah, it was wonderful. And I know we could even talk many more hours. I think you're going to be with Joan and I on the Giant Squid Open Mic show at some point, right? I, it seems to me that you might be talking about backlinks or something on another site that you
Lovelinks.com is first to help people have backlinks. I just created it for all of us squiddy people. But anyway, yeah, that's what I'm going to talk about on that show. So, but yeah,
Lovelinks.com, okay.
We could talk for hours.
I know. I really appreciate it. So right now I'm going to be playing a song that I played in the beginning, but that was a little shorter, and it's called Music for Mother and Child. Heather,
cool.
Thank you again, and we will talk again.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.